the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everybody, welcome along. This is the Specials Podcast from William Hill. My name's Lee Phelps, reality Rob Dixon is on the line.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, can you deliver your scores please, Mr. Dixon?
Yes. We did all right. That's all you need to know.
Do you know what? I think I've never enjoyed Eurovision as much as I enjoyed Eurovision last weekend. I think the bug might finally have bitten me. It might have been something to do with Poland's act.
I can't believe that you've presented this specialist podcast now for about 3 years. 3 years have we been doing it?
I don't know, maybe longer than that.
It seems longer. And you've never got involved in Eurovision?
No, I've watched it every year, but I just never really enjoyed it. I thought the show was... I know people on Twitter, slag things off, but I thought the show, from start to finish, was really, really... I thought the hosts were funny. I thought that was brilliant. The bits at the end where there were... The little bits... That song they did was better than anything on the night.
I thought it was a bit... When it got to them interviewing sort of Molly, the bit about with... interviewing
that was Graham, yeah, right? Some of that was cringe, but that's live cringe. TV, isn't it? She didn't really help the situation, Molly. If you didn't watch Eurovision somehow, well, Austria won it. Conchita Wurst absolutely ran away with it on the night. And to be fair, the performance was absolute knockout. Relatively speaking, I'm talking about Eurovision here, and TV talent shows. It was she really did belt it out. What happened to UK? We said no one likes us. Let's get that out in the open. And everyone kind of disregarded that this year. And people I don't think, talking about the bit you were just mentioning then about Molly, I don't think she did herself any favours either, because, like, she didn't really come across as really embracing the whole thing, which is fair enough.
I was a bit disappointed. I mean, I'd seen the rehearsals, and I agreed with a lot of what people had said, that we'd had Gav on and a few others, and said, well, this is our year. And I just watched her performance on Saturday, and it was just lacking something.
She was quite nervous at the start, wasn't she, as well?
What you've seen before, it was lacking. She didn't come across as overly jovial when interviewed after the show, and it just, I don't know. On the plus side, we did better than we did the last 2 years.
Yeah, true.
But I think we were definitely looking at top 10 at worst.
Yeah.
And the 17th really wasn't what we expect. I mean, where we go from now is another matter. Do we go back to the bigger name, or do we continue to go with the sort of unsigned, not unsigned?
I think we just admit that no one really likes us, and until anyone likes us, then it's not going to...
Well, somebody said our better chance is if we actually go in the semi-finals. We might actually have a chance of qualifying from the semi-final.
We get put through automatically, don't we, basically?
We get put through automatically because we pay a lot of money to the EBU. So.
And that, as a starting point, that's where the competition does fall down. The full result, by the way, I'm sure you know it, but just to give you it, because I've not been told it by anyone this week. Austria, of course, won it. The Netherlands came second. Sweden third. Armenia fourth. Hungary were fifth. So if you backed Hungary, top five, then well done. Ukraine sixth. Russia seventh. Norway eighth. Denmark ninth. And Spain crept in to the top 10. So if you...
The finishing order was the same order as the top four in the betting at the start of the night show, which is...
Oh, was it?
It's actually the third year in a row that's happened now.
So what you're saying is that Austria, Netherlands, Sweden, Armenia were the top four in the betting?
The top four in the betting, yeah.
I mean, Armenia, people were putting that up beforehand, but I was surprised it finished in fourth position.
Well, it was probably, I think fourth was probably the best it could have done with its running order, the fact that it was coming on seventh. Looking at the result, 2 weeks before the show, before the rehearsals, Austria 50-1, Netherlands were 151.
Wow.
You could have got bigger on Netherlands.
Wow.
These rehearsals, you really, I can't stress enough, if you're going to make money on Eurovision year on year, follow these rehearsals, follow the moves in rehearsals, these money moves. The people out there, they're tweeting in, obviously getting close to the time next year. We had Gav on this year, but there are other people out there for the rehearsals. They know what they're doing, and you'd be a fool not to follow them.
Yeah, fair enough. Thoroughly enjoyable. And I got a bucket load of retweets for tweeting out the picture of the Polish beauties. during it. Poland,
well, it was bizarre because when the UK results came round, they were the Poland were top of our televote, and I think they finished next to bottom of the jury vote. So
14th, they finished 14th in the end, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so they beat the UK.
So
yeah.
One advantage that UK probably need to think of next year.
Yeah.
People vote with their eyes.
Mind
and not
you,
with their
Jordan
ears.
Didn't do too well, did she, when she went for it that time?
No, that was fine. Eyes let's, and not ears. There you go, there's your advice for next year.
Let's move on to Britain's Got Talent, shall we? We've got a new favourite called Bars and Melody at 3-1. Colabro 4-1. Paddy and Nico 6-1. Jack Pack 10-1. Darcy Oak 12s. Bailey McConnell 14. 16s for James Smith. And Kings and Queens, and Light Balance, and Lucy Kay, and Mickey Dumoulin, and then 20-1, and bigger the rest. Bars and Melody. These are the two young lads who did a kind of a rap about bullying, didn't they, Rob?
Yes, it was an anti-bullying rap.
Anti-bullying rap, yeah. And I would have told you whose song it was, but I've forgotten already, to be honest. Already amassed a fair few views on YouTube, 11.5 million views on Britain's Got Talent's YouTube page, obviously a few more than that from other accounts as well. They've done all right there, to be fair, and probably justified favourites from the crowd reaction. You're not keen?
I think I'm
a bit worried about this.
The golden buzzer's the one for me. Mm. If Simon hadn't done the golden buzzer, I think they'd have been double or even triple the price.
Do you?
Yeah, I think the market's crashed more because he used... I mean, I didn't trade the night, obviously, with Eurovision on, so I didn't see what prices people went out with at the beginning, before the buzzer. But I can imagine... To me, it was good. There was obviously a message in the song, but to me, it was a 10-1 shot.
Right.
It's only now shortened because of the golden buzzer. I mean, what can they do? What can they do differently in the semi-finals and the final?
I know what you mean.
The message is still the message, whether it goes to the semi-final. Yeah. Are they going to do a different song, a different rap? That's fine. But if they just produce the same... I go back to sort of Luminites last year, who got to the final, and everybody said, oh, this is fresh, this is a bit different and everything. There was a message in the Luminites song. But when they got to the final, they did exactly the same song as they did in the original Heat, and that cost them a chance. The others, others people like the young lad in the wheelchair, Jack, I forgot his last name, Jack Carroll, he was doing a completely different act. He was doing an act that was completely it was completely a live act because he was referring to something that had happened previously in the show as well, so.
I get that. I understand that. My initial reaction is to take on that price, but every time we get one of these runaway favourites on this show, they just stay there. I'm a bit concerned about it. I mean, the reaction in the crowd reaction, and by the way, you know, Eurovision was on, but Britain's Got Talent got more viewers than Eurovision for their chunk. So they got over 9.4 million, 8.8 for Eurovision. So lots of people were watching this. The you know, women crying in the crowd, Ant and Dec turning around to camera and saying, we like this, you know, reminding me a little bit of Ant and Dec when they were PJ and Duncan. I think the kind of crowd reaction, the standing ovation, then when the golden buzzer happened, there was a real, real crest of a wave there. I think that will carry them through to the final. I get what you're saying about them winning it.
Oh, I definitely agree with the final.
I mean, I mean, right to the end, you know, the final three, if you like. Sorry, yeah. I think they're pretty much guaranteed final three, but is it a bit short? Well, I was looking at the, I mean, obviously they only performed it at the weekend. I was looking at the YouTube because that's a fair amount of, you know, views to get on a video that they've already got. And I looked at Darcy Oak, who's still my tip, and I think he's even bigger now than he was. 12-1, the Canadian magician. You know, you look at his clip on the Britain's Got Talent YouTube page, 22.2 million views that's had in 3 weeks. Now, obviously, you know, they've got a few more weeks for it to be out there, and Bars and Melody's clip may well beat that in the end. It's just a bit short, isn't it, Rob? 3-1. I'm worried about it. You can tell. It's one of those where I think I should just back it, and then just back it 3-1. Be done with it. Forget about it. If it wins, great. But
it's probably one of those where the fact that Simon's done his buzzer means that they're sort of we talk about sort of the chosen acts, don't we? The fact that he's done the golden buzzer, he's going to do everything he can, I think, to get them into the final. Mm. I can't see them being much bigger. You might as well back the 3-1 now, because it probably, you're not, it's not going to go off 10-1 in the final, is it? So you might as well just back it at threes now.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Whatever happens, Simon's going to put them through. There will be a way. Simon will get them through.
Oh yeah,
the semi-final. Even if they don't win that semi-final, I'll be convinced.
Oh, they'll win the semi-final.
They'll either be the first semi-final or the last semi-final, and they will be. That one will probably have the easiest semi-final.
Yeah. Where are we at with the run of shows now? Rob,
we
do you know?
Have. What are we now? The 16th, aren't we?
Yeah.
We have one more this weekend. Next weekend, which I think is a double header next weekend. Then the first live show is Bank Holiday Monday, the 26th, somewhere around there.
Fantastic. Normally I wouldn't back them, and I wouldn't be suggesting anyone backs them at 3-1. But having been chinned by favourites in this show pretty much every year, I've got to learn my lesson. Last year I opposed that dancing group till I opposed them even when they'd won it. It was that bad. It was that embarrassing.
Thing, that was the frustrating thing, is the fact that we'd had a lot of punters backing it at sort of 1-4, 1-5, shorter. And when the phone lines closed, Jack Carroll, I think, was favourite. But that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. So at the minute, as it stands, if you haven't had a bet on Britain's Got Talent, I'd be having a bet on Bars and Melody. But my main tip is still Darcy Oak at 12-1.
Yeah. Agree with you.
Yeah. I think he's got more variety in his act, obviously. He's got more. I'll use this joke again, more up his sleeve.
Oh, I like it, Lee, I like it. That time spent in Florida wasn't wasted.
Only 2 weeks. I've been back longer than I went now, I think. Should we talk briefly about BBC Sports Personality of the Year? Lewis Hamilton, 11-8, won another Grand Prix because his car's better than everyone else's.
Yep, full successive win for that overly powerful.
Surprising, that, isn't it? It's weird how the guy who won everyone last year, what's his name? Vettel.
Yeah,
he's got a worse car this year, and he's not winning. It's strange, isn't it? Chris Froome about to come to the nation's attention in the next couple of months. 6-1, he is. The Tour de France, of course, starts in Yorkshire. Andy Murray is 10-1. Not faring too well without a coach, is he? But obviously, his big month coming up soon as well. Steven Gerrard drifted back out to 12-1. If you've got a betting slip with his name on it, then I wouldn't rip it up, but I'd put it somewhere very close to the bin, because unless England and win the World Cup, that is absolutely, and he scores the winning goal, that ain't going to win. Then you got Lizzie Arnold, Mo Farah, Rory McIlroy at 20s. Mo Farah's been trimmed in a bit there. The news that he's going to run at the Commonwealth.
Yes. That's obviously getting me to respond to that. Yes. I think he'll be doing both events, the 5 and the 10 at the...
It's hard to see him winning it, though. I mean, I really needed him to... Not just fail at the London Marathon, but fail in some sort of spectacular kind of injury way, like, fall over and scuff his knee. Yeah. So there needed to be some heartfelt failure rather than just a failure.
Surely at some stage, though, there has to be some public recognition of what he's done.
Yeah, but it's weird, isn't it? That it'd be ironic if it came this year. He gets double gold at the Olympics, the biggest Olympics that you could ever imagine. He gets double gold at the Worlds, unheard of, following up, backing up like that. Then let's say he double golds at the Commonwealth, which, I mean, it's not a given because actually Commonwealth, long distance running is very, very strong. In a quiet year.
If you look in the fact that you're up against now, you're 20-1, right? Mm. So we don't know if he's going to win both these events. But at the moment, he's 20-1 in a market where you've got somebody who's only winning races because they've got the fastest car. 11-8.
But the Formula 1 fans don't buy that argument. Do they think it's about driver skill?
You've got an out-of-form British tennis player who, to be quite honest, if he does win Wimbledon this year, won't have the same buzz as winning it sort of last year anyway. And then you've got Steven Gerrard, whose team didn't win the league, and his mistake in quite a major way cost them the championship.
Mm-hmm. That's maybe a little
that's
harsh.
That's going to go down well with the Scousers.
That's maybe a little harsh on Steven Gerrard, but
no,
yeah.
Not at all.
Well, because
he wasn't good enough. The team wasn't good enough.
You could say that.
He wasn't good enough.
Hang on a minute. You could say that when they dropped points, in the first 3 months of the season or whatever, that cost them the title. It was not like one game, was it?
Yeah.
I get your point now, without wanting to labour it too much. But what about this? Rather than 20-1 for him to win the whole thing, fifth of the odds for a place in the top three. 4-1, basically, that is, isn't it?
Well,
That's got to be a bet, hasn't it?
Where else is... Who else is going to get a place? That's the issue, isn't it?
He's got to get a place, isn't he, Mo Farah, if he double golds
the
again?
The Winter Olympians have been forgotten about now already. So you can take Lizzie Yarnold and Kelly Gallagher out. You'd think that probably Commonwealth Games, last time Commonwealth Games was over here, they didn't get... I think Liz McColgan won Sports Personality of the Year. I mean, that's long distance running, but she did as well. But
Scottish,
I don't know, I just don't see where anybody else is coming out the list.
What about Yeah, I was just looking at that, both 66ers. Any chance there that Froch? You know, Froch has been on a journey, hasn't he? In terms of he was loved, he's hated. If he wins and it's spectacular, will he be loved again?
I haven't loved enough to back him.
I don't think so.
And to be quite honest, the fight, I haven't got the fight prices to hand. You'd know more than me, but it's not a given that either of them would get.
I think it might
be a 12 round slug.
It could be a pick 'em by the time that it goes off. To be fair, but I'm not thinking about winning. I'm thinking about top three. I'm just wondering if Karl Froch wins that and comes out looking great, and could he be 66-1 for a top three place? Boxing traditionally, well, recently, doesn't do very well at all, does it?
Genuinely can't pick. No. I think Hamilton will be top three, and that's the only one I've got in that list now.
Yeah,
I just think it's so open. Nobody's put their hand up. Nobody's going to put their hand up and say, "I want to win Sports Personality," but nobody's achieved anything this year. I don't think. Worthy of being top three.
No, I see. I get that. Yeah, I can see.
Becky James.
Yeah, you can rip that up if you want that bet that I had. I don't even know why I did it.
I want to put it on my profile as why I like make a lot of money out of the company. Yeah.
Why is Jessica Ennis Hill even in the betting? By the way,
well, there's a load. I mean, Laura Robson. I'm just having a look actually because I've been off for 2 days, Lee. I don't check the website every day.
No, of course. Yeah.
I mean, Laura Robson's missing Wimbledon, so I can't see her ever. But 66-1 needs an extra nought on it. Jess Ennis Hill needs an extra nought. There's others, isn't there? Theo Walcott, he's not playing, is he? He needs another nought on that one. Yeah, I understand. Joe Hart, I'm still with his Joe Hart at 80-1. I keep coming back to it. There's the only player out of that list that's got any potential to do anything at the World Cup, it's Joe Hart.
Penalty saves, you mean?
Yeah, a couple of penalty saves. We might win a shootout for a change.
Yeah.
We're probably 80s to win a shootout, let alone...
true enough, yeah. The BAFTA TV Awards are this weekend, and Rob's got plenty of betting there. Six different markets. Best actor, best actress, best entertainment programme, best continuing drama, and best serial drama. Best continuing drama, by the way, is best soap. 4-6, EastEnders, 15-8, Corrie. The best entertainment programme, 4-7, Strictly, 15-8, Anton Deck. The other two are Darren Brown and Dynamo Mission Impossible. Best actor prices, we've talked about a lot of these, so that's why I'm skirting over them. Sean Harris, 13-8 for his role in Southcliffe. Dominic West in Burton and Taylor at 2-1. Jamie Dornan in The Fall at 9-4. And Luke Newbury in The Flesh, priced up at 7-1. As for the best actress prices, we've got Olivia Colman, Broadchurch, 4-6. Still think that's a cracking bet, by the way, even at the price, if you haven't had a bet. Maxine Peake, The Village, 11-4. Helena Bonham Carter, 3-1 for her role in Burton and Taylor. And Kerry Hayes, 14-1 outsider for her part in The Mill. The best at serial drama betting looks like this: Broadchurch 1-2, The Village 11-4, Top of the Lake 5-1, My Fat Diary is 9-1. And Broadchurch was a long time ago now, but everyone absolutely loved it at the time. The market that I wanted to have a chat about, Rob, was this best international programme: Breaking Bad 11-10, Borgen 3-1, House of Cards 7-2, and The Returned 4-1. Now, I watched The Returned, which was very good, if a little bit weird. I'm not sure it'd have the kind of populous. Or be popular enough to win that one. I didn't watch House of Cards. I know Borgen's widely regarded as being very, very good. And Breaking Bad is basically everyone's favourite programme on the planet. 11-10 looks a stonking price there, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, it's decided by committee as
yes,
this
it is,
one.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Borgen maybe would be more of a critic's choice.
Yeah, Borgen,
but
House of Cards.
Breaking Bad, I mean, they seldom do really popular programmes which have got critical acclaim. Seldom do they not win these kind of awards, you know, and Breaking Bad's got everything going for it.
Probably not.
Yeah, 11 to 10.
11 to 10, I can't really put you...
You've got any bets on that?
You off it.
You've got any bets? Anyone getting involved in that? Nope. You wait till this podcast goes out. I reckon you'll be inundated. You'll be looking at three bets.
Well, I'll be waiting. Yeah.
Me? There'll be me, basically, having a bet on it.
I'll be interested to know. Everybody listen.
Davy Jones will have a bet on it.
Everybody listening to the podcast, have a bet on Breaking Bad, and then I can find out how many people we've got listening today.
All those winners that you'll have to... sort out. We've got also got X Factor winning category, no change there. We've got some weather specials. It's warm outside, so
today, I can categorically confirm.
Which month will be the warmest in the UK in 2014? We love these.
Yeah, you made some money out of this last year, didn't you?
Didn't I? Was it? Well, I can't remember how I did and what I did.
Well, you had a bet after the result was confirmed. That's what you did.
Come on, that's not true at all. Temperature specials: UK record summer temperature to be broken, 38.5 degrees. Nah. And the UK summer temperature to reach 100 Fahrenheit. Yes, 8 to 1. Elsewhere on the specials pages, we've got the Royal Specials. Who killed Lucy Beale? She's still alive then?
Nope, dead.
She's dead now?
Oh, yeah, she died ages ago.
Oh, right, okay.
She died about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, right, so when do we find out who killed her?
Next year.
The Turner Prize outrights are available as well, if literature is your thing. Duncan Campbell's a 7-4 favourite there. Kiara Phillips is 11-4. 3-1 for James Richards. And Tris Vonnell Mitchell is 3-1. Also, another literature one, the Women's Prize for Fiction outrights. The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. Great name. 2-1. Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie is 3-1. That's not bad effort for the first time I've ever seen that name in front of me. A girl is a half formed thing.
Can I make a complaint?
Go on.
About the podcast? We normally like to say that everything that we say is correct. The Turner Prize isn't a literary prize.
What is it? You know, is that the art one?
Contemporary art one, yeah.
Thanks, mate. That's good. I thought the Turner Prize was a book thing.
No, that's the book one. That's the fiction
that's
prize.
That's the book prize.
Man Booker Prize.
Yeah, I get that. But I thought the Turner Prize... Well,
the Clues in Word book.
I absolutely stand corrected, and thanks for that. A Girl is a Half-Formed Thing by Emma McBride is 5-1. 5-1 also for Burial Rites by Hannah Kent. The Lowland by Jhumpa Lahiri is 6-1. And The Undertaking by Audrey McGee is 6-1. If you've got any thoughts on any of those prizes, either the Women's Prize for Fiction or the Turner Prize, of course it is. It's a Turner Prize. Of course, and it's the architecture one, isn't it?
No, that's the Stirling Prize. It's a contemporary art award. It was set up in 1984 to celebrate new developments in contemporary art.
Where are you reading that from?
It's awarded every year to a British artist under 50
Wikipedia?
For an outstanding exhibition or other presentation
of their
Wikipedia?
Work
in the 12-month proceeding. Yeah. Nominations are invited each year, and the prize is judged by an independent jury that changes annually. The four shortlisted artists present works in a show normally held at Tate Britain before the winner is announced in December. Artists are not judged on their show at Tate. The decision is based on the work for which they are nominated.
Good.
And that's off the official Tate website.
Here's me thinking it's all off the top of your head.
Well, funny, yeah. Wow. I don't even know how to spell contemporary, let alone wonder what it is.
So I think we've covered that off then.
Yes.
I've done everything on your website page.
Have you done everything? Can we do some cricket?
Nah.
Can I mention...
T20 Blast starts today?
T20 Blast starts today, yes. Mm-hmm. Yorkshire at home, if anybody's listening.
Nice weather for it as well, Rob.
And you can get the podcast out before 5:30 today. So there you go. Be a nice evening for it. Plenty of beer, scantily clad young students out as well. How much fun can you have on a Friday night?
Yeah.
Married man myself, unfortunately, so I'll be sat at home.
You're talking like university students, aren't you? Just to... That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Some university student, yeah.
That's fine. I just wanted to clarify that. And just as another little plug, not tonight because he wasn't available, but every single Friday throughout the T20 Blast, Anthony McGrath, former Yorkshire and England batsman, Yorkshire captain indeed, will be on In Play Radio.
He was rubbish at 2020, though. I don't even know why you've got him. You might as well get me in the studio.
All right, you come in and talk to him about it then.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
That might not have been his forte, but he knows how the game goes.
So
he's been doing all the IPL stuff.
How much is he getting paid for that? Why am I not getting paid?
You're more than welcome. You get paid by William Hill.
I do get paid.
You're more than welcome to come down and talk when the T20 Blast is on.
I'm waiting to do my cricket podcast.
Are you in tonight?
I'm sat in my chaise lounge today.
Well, why don't you come in tonight and do a bit?
We'll ring you up. Do any extra unpaid work. I'll do enough unpaid work. I'm doing this.
You've just said, why aren't I on? I'm offering you a gig here.
I don't want to do it. He's a big lad.
He's not in today. He couldn't do the first day.
Why can't he do the first day? What's he doing?
Busy.
Eating?
I think he's... it's harsh. he's not even that big. I think he's working at Yorkshire, actually, to be honest.
So double gig. No, I like it. Yeah. He could report live from the ground.
My wife, right?
One with a hair salon.
Has just sent me a picture saying, This is my dream wedding ring, engagement ring. Basically, right. Check this out. Let me just talk about this a minute, Rob. Right. So my wife proposed to me.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Bit weird.
Right, it's understandable, isn't it? You know, you can't let me get. You know, she had to do it pretty quick, I reckon, before I was snapped up. Mm. At the time, we didn't get engaged. She proposed. We set a date and we got married. We didn't have an engagement party. Didn't get engaged. Now, because we weren't really into that sort of stuff. Now, as time's gone on, she's now saying these days, "Oh, you never got me an engagement ring."
Well, I'm with her on this because technically, if you propose to somebody, right, and they say yes, then are you not engaged anyway? Is the ring not the confirmation that you're engaged?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
Surely you're engaged once you've said yes, you are engaged. So you've not bought her a ring. So you're a tight fist, aren't you?
But technically, she should buy me one, don't you, I think?
Not really. I don't think you'd look good with like a diamond ring on your finger.
No,
would they not realise it's a bit worrying?
Obviously I'm wrong about it. I'm wrong. So she sent me a picture of an engagement ring that she would like for a 40th birthday. And it's got lots and lots of diamonds in it, Rob. Shall I put that as the picture on the on the specials podcast this week?
Out back in Bowser Melody to win Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, I think I'm there. Oh dear me, my usual pitiful stakes may have to be increased slightly. Rob, I think we'll call it a day there, shall
we? Yes, let's call it a day.
Don't talk about my wife's ring anymore.
I upset any more people on the payroll. So
thank you very much, Rob.
Pleasure.
We'll speak to Rob Dixon next week. You can follow him on Twitter. It's @reality_Rob. And he'll be tweeting about all manner of things over the course of the weekend, including Britain's Got Talent. I'm at Lee Phelps if you want to converse with me on Twitter. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've just discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.